This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
لنا من يهده الله فلا مضل لنا ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, we try to remember all the azkar recommended by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah to recite every morning and every evening. Even we are towards the middle of the morning, but let us try to remind ourselves the importance of making this azkar. I will continue to do this, and we hope anybody who is following us will try the best to follow this zikr. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma Bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilaykan nushur Bismillahil ladzi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwas sami'ul alim Bismillahil ladzi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار وأجرنا من النار وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين All praises due to Allah Rabbul Alameen for all His blessing. And may Allah's guidance be upon all of us till we return back to Him. And may Allah make our tongue busy in remembering Him in good time, bad time, whether we are alone, whether we are in the company of anyone. We always ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to make our tongue easy to mention His name and always remember Allah Rabbul Alameen while standing, while sitting, while lying down. This is very important because Allah have reminded us, Fazkuruni Azkurukum, whoever remember me, I remember him. To all the brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we hope all our team from the Peace TV, from our DGO, or we call GDO, Global Da'wah Organization, after having almost 2 weeks of gathering, thinking and discussing the important about the unity among the Ummah and how to reach out to the people who who are not yet Muslim to know what is Islam. It's about unity and about to bring peace to the globe. May Allah Rabbul Alameen reward all of them who have taken the initiative to travel around the globe, to be in Malaysia with us, to look into matters that involve the Ummah and involve humanity. For all of them, with their families, and those who have made this arrangement a very successful one, may Allah reward them and may Allah protect all of us. Ameen. I'm sure that all of us who have been attending our class here have been reminded again through all the ongoing classes the importance about having the right understanding, knowledge and value how to be a better Muslim. Based on the info that I receive from my assistants, we are going to page 217 today on prudence. Topic, prudence. Now before that, there is a topic, a title known as people should depend on you and not you on them. Reminding all of us the important to be beneficial to others but not a burden to other people. Parents always give example to the children. Children normally will depend on their parent when they are young. But as we are growing, we must always learn how to be beneficial to our parent. Make sure that we are always there for them too. And make sure that when time comes, we want them to feel that we are not a burden to them anymore. How can we feel that we will not be a burden? We will try to learn, be independent from very young, from our parents, what they are doing, so that we pick up all the good values and we do it by ourselves. And then we always offer our services to them when we are able. Today the world is very imbalanced because people who receive, they are pampered and they are used to receive, they are not giving back. And people who have been giving, alhamdulillah, they never stop giving. Like parents never stop giving guidance, advice, financial help to their children, alhamdulillah. But the time will come for every one of us, how can we be beneficial to our parents, to our family, to our community? That is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mu'min manfa'atun, a believer is a person who brings benefit to others. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَلَّا عَلَى النَّاسِ, they will never be a burden to others. So this is something very, very important for all of us to try our level best, to be the people who bring benefit to others, not a burden, inshallah. Now when you talk about prudence, we know that it have a lot of beautiful meanings, today's topic. Is it on the screen? It's not on yet. Pardon? Some problem. It's coming. Okay. The meaning of prudence, wisdom, having good judgment, common sense, cautious, being careful. Meaning, a person who are prudent is a person who always very careful of what he or she is going to say. There is a saying, a word is like a bullet. A word is like a bullet. One is out. Even you make a mistake, you realize you may want to pull back, you may ask for forgiveness, but you know, one is out. It's been wounded. People feel bad. People remember. You may ask for forgiveness because you know it's wrong. But for the person that is hurt, they will always remember all the things that you have said to them. So it's very important to be careful and always hold on to your tongue. That's why the Prophet said, "Man kana yu'min billahi yawmal akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, anytime you're going to say something, please look into your word first. Organize yourself, organize your sentence. Use the right word. Even you have the good intention, but if you use the wrong approach, it becomes negative. Yeah. It's just like talking to adult, talking to parents. You have good intention, you want them to hear you, but if you raise up your voice so loud, like shouting at them, you don't mean to shout at them, but you raise up your voice unnecessary. That shows your rudeness, that you are a person who have no respect to the elders. Now, you have hurt the person. It's not easy for the person to forget. But you have good intention. Good intention do not allow you to just say anything or do anything you like. Yeah? This is very important. Yeah? So one who have the patience, I think we will save ourselves from a lot of problems. We know in life many of us rush into things. We always want things to be fast. But if you think you need to do something immediately and you can do it by yourself, you do it by yourself. And anybody who pass by, you can ask them for help. Can you give me a helping hand? If you think that it's very urgent, especially if there's a broken glass somewhere and people don't see, but Allah give you the knowledge, the feeling, you can see. So are you going to wait for the people to come and clean it? No, immediately you do it, because it may cause harm to yourself if you don't take action immediately. Think you can wait, you can wait, and then until they come around, and then you remind them, do you see all this thing is happening? Don't you feel something? Don't you want to clean it? Yeah, example, you know? This is just some simple example in life. Yeah? There are times you have to do it by yourself, later on you explain to others. There are times you can delay, because it don't endanger anyone. Then when the people is around, you just bring them along and say, brothers, sisters, you see what is happening now? Can you all see? If they say yes, yes. So what do you do? Don't we feel that it's our responsibility to do something? To clean up? To wash it? If there's oil and so on, it becomes slippery. Don't we think that it's good for us to make sure we clean this area? You save yourself and you save others. It can happen to anybody, your friend, your loved one, your children who are not aware about the environment, and it may cause harm to themselves. Just an example. No one's spend prudently except that he is safe from having to depend on others. A poet did share their feeling. Save your money, for with wealth comes respect. Meaning, if you have anything extra, don't waste, don't spend unnecessarily. Save it. Because when you don't have and you start to ask, then the respect from other people towards you is no more there. Because you have your own weaknesses you like to ask. Now, asking people for any kind of assistance in necessity is okay. But when you are so used in asking, so little matter, small thing also you will ask. No, that is not good at all. Yeah? We know friend who was very close, stay very far away, depart. They are apart because of money. Yeah, when they start to borrow money and they fail to pay back, they feel shy and they stay away. Can you imagine? Yeah, you sacrifice a good friendship just because of money. So save your money when you have, for with wealth comes respect. When you have something to give, people respect you more. But when you are a burden, you always see people and ask people for help. So people will look at you from a different angle. If you are really poor, and because you are not normal, handicapped, then people may feel for you better. Yeah? It's just that the situation in Palestine, in Gaza, people can feel for them because they are suffering. They are at war. There's nothing that they can do. And you can do without asking uncle or cousin, meaning be dependent or independent. The best one, be independent. Yeah? The philosophy that promotes extravagance in spending is wrong, false, and it detrimental to one's well-being. That's when you have extra, don't waste. Wastage is again the teaching of Islam. Allah in the Quran said, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Yeah, those who spend unnecessary waste, whatever Allah gives them, they keep on wasting it, like wasting food, some of them. Then Allah said, this is the work of Satan. And Satan is very, very arrogant. They don't care. It's just like people who like to waste. They don't care. When people look at you, people feel, what a waste. For you, no problem. If you think you cannot finish something that is yours now, why not you just pack it nicely, share it with others. Yeah. Bring it back. You don't just throw, if possible. Now, if the thing is no more good, of course, it's not good for you to give people things that is not good. Yeah. A lot of people until today is still doing extravagance, especially when eating is concerned. One of the things that we are exposed when you have this so-called buffet style of food. You know? When you said you are free from 7 to 10, 3 hours to eat anything you want, then can you imagine 3 hours? You don't have to rush. First round, you collect so many things, put on your plate, as though that the food is going to finish. No. You just pick what you think that you like first. A bit here, a bit there. And after you finish, you go second round, go third round, go fourth round. You want to walk 10 rounds, you can walk 10 rounds because it's from 7 to 10. No problem. Eat as much as you can, but don't waste. Yeah. Example, this is just some example. Now, the roots of such ideas are found, according to the author of the book, in India, or originate from the ignorant among the Sufis. Yeah. You can see a lot of people doing things extravagant. Even in Islam, you want to fast. You cannot overdo. You fast, you start at certain time, you end at certain time. You cannot say, no, I want to break my fast at 10 p.m. when the breaking of fast is 7:30. Don't do that. Even your intention is good. I want to remember Allah to the extent I don't care about my other responsibility. No. Remembering Allah do not mean you just sit one place and remember Allah by reciting His name 1,000 times. No. You remember what He wants you to do. He wants you to be responsible, to be productive, yeah, to reach out, to clean the environment. Yeah. So you must be proactive. Allah do not like people who just remember Allah hours and hours, praying to Him hours and hours, and then forget about the other responsibilities. It's very important for all of us to balance, yeah, whatever we are doing in our life. Now, if you look at a lot of things that is happening around us, the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. If the rich can just share some of their wealth to the poor, and the poor can work hard and be independent, then it helps both parties. Yeah? This is how we move on. That's why we have a program called the empowerment. You empower the poor to do something, and then so that they can be independent. But you have extra. There's nothing for you to waste. You don't waste anything helping some people to be more independent. You know? These are very important things for us to learn. You know? Indeed, Islam promotes earning money honestly and spending it in a proper manner. Because the Prophet did ask us and remind us, there are four questions that Allah is sure to ask you in the Day of Judgment. Everybody will be resurrected and no one will move from where they were resurrected until four questions been asked. One of the questions is that about your income, your money. How do you earn the money? Even your earning is so good, but where do you spend your money? Also will be questioned by Allah Rabbul Alameen, because it is a trust from Allah to us. Yeah? Everything that we have actually belong to Allah. He is the one who have provided for us. So there, Allah is sure to ask you, how do you earn your money? If you say, I work for it, in a halal manner, alhamdulillah, you save one of the problem now. Not only you feel safe, you can see no authority will come after you because your earning is clean and honest. But then Allah asks you again, how do you spend your wealth? Yeah, then there is also another thing that Allah will value. Okay, I give you, I grant you this and that. How do you make use of your money now? Do you make it, use it wisely to help one another? Do something that benefit others? Or you waste the money? So spending your own money also will be questioned by Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yeah? When it comes to money, the question twice. One is, how do you earn your money? Second, how you spend it? Yeah? Knowledge, only one. When you have knowledge, what do you do with your knowledge? Allah also will ask you. If you don't know, then you will not be asked about that. But if you are learning, you know, and still you are not doing what you have been taught, then you will be questioned by Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Applying these two principles is what make one honorable through his wealth. If you have the money and you know how to utilize the money in the proper manner, then you gain respect. People will talk only good about you because you are doing purely for the sake of Allah, not to show off. If you do anything good to show off, people may talk good about what you are doing for a while. After that, the blessing is no more there. People forget. But you do something purely for Allah, sincerely, the blessing is always there. There is a difference between doing good to show off and doing good purely for the sake of Allah. Anything you do purely for the sake of Allah, sincerely, Allah's blessing continue. And the people who know about your good deeds will keep on remembering all the good things you are doing. Why? Because Allah put this feeling into them. But if you do things just to show off, for a while people talk about you, after that people forget you. Look at the old, look at the life of our prophet, the companions. They live very humble, very simple. We remember them until today. Who are they? They are not millionaire. Yeah, they are not people that a lot of us have any relationship with them, but we remember the good deeds that they left behind. Yeah? Because they do it sincerely. The same goes to the parent. If whatever you give your children, you give it sincerely, not only the children remember you, the children will share this feeling with their children. Your grandchildren will remember. And later on, the generation keep on passing down all the good thing that they have got from you, and they still remember you. Yeah? But if you are not sincere, maybe just one generation. After that, they cut you off. Yeah. So we hope Allah make all of us very sincere in whatever we do. And we must be very prudent in what we say and what we do. Yeah. Careful. This is one of the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, the meaning, blessed is good wealth, that which is earned honestly in the hand of righteous men. This is something a lot of people are not focusing today. They don't care about whether their income will be blessed or not, as long as they have money. If you have a good friend, you may be blessed through your good friend. Good environment is a blessing. Yeah? So if you disconnect yourself with good people, then the bad guy will come in. Everywhere you go, the two forces is always there. The two forces are good and the evil. If you are always be close to the righteous people, then the unrighteous people don't have the opportunity to come into your life. Yeah. Alone, you have your own weaknesses. Being human, when you are alone, you can make a lot of mistakes that you don't realize. It's like praying alone and praying together. You pray together. If you make mistakes, somebody is there to remind you. But when you are praying alone, sometimes you make mistakes and you repeat the mistakes. I don't know anyone experienced this or not. When you're praying alone, just for two rakaat prayer, example, Fajr prayer, or Maghrib prayer, three rakaat, three unit. Sometimes you keep on forgetting that you can pray five rakaat. Because after you thought that you have added, then you still have doubts. Yeah. Of course, this can happen to anybody when you are so busy thinking of so many things. And you realize whether this is the third. It's the third one now for Maghrib. But because of the doubt you have, you plus one more rakat. After plusing one more rakat, you still have another doubt. So what you do? You plus another one. Because in praying, anytime you have doubt, three, four, even you are in the fourth one, you must make addition three, lesser. Yeah? You must immediately add one more. While you're adding, because of your disturbance, the thing that disturbs you is so strong, you keep on forgetting again. Then you have to add one more again. Only at the end, you make sujud sahwi. And that's how you rectify your mistake by extra two sujud. You know? This is just some guideline. You know? So remember what the Prophet ﷺ has informed us. Blessed is good wealth. Anything you earn and there's a blessing in it is something very, very important to the believers. And also, please remember to have good people around you. In contrast to him is one who is inundated in debt or one who is indigent. Those who like to get involved in debt, asking. That's why the Prophet said, Yadul al-ula is always better than Yadul sufla, meaning the upper hand is always a better hand than the lower hand. The upper hand is a person who give. Yeah? The lower hand are the one who always want to receive. Yeah? The former is always troubled and worried that all of his possession will be taken away from him. And the latter is continuous struggling just to find the means of staying alive. Yeah? Normally, the people who have more sometimes, if they are not wise, you become very stingy, very calculative. Sometimes people who are rich, but they are poor. That's why the Prophet did mention again, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ أَنْ قَسْرَةِ الْأَرْضِ. Richness is it's not because you have a lot of property, a lot of money, no. وَلَقِنْ أَلَغِنَا غِنَا النَّفْسِ. Richness, if you are contented, what you have, even the little, I feel is enough. I can work, you know, for more, there's nothing wrong. But whatever I have that Allah have ordained for me to have that day, I'm happy. Yeah. We don't want to compare. If you want to compare in life, brothers and sisters, you can. And the Prophet has shown us how to compare. If you want to compare, unzur ila man asfala minkum wa la tanzur ila man fawqa. If you want to compare with anything in life, compare with people who are lower than you. people who are worse than you, people who have lesser than you, people who are more ignorant than you. You can do that comparison, because then you will be very grateful. Wow, I am in a better situation, condition than the brother or the sister. You don't compare with people who are higher than you, no. Then you keep on complaining, and you keep on, become very ungrateful. Remember why? Because Islam said, the day will come, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ أَنِ النَّعِيمِ. The day will come, Allah will ask us, the more He gives, the more He asks. How do you make use of the wealth I give you? But the lesser He gives, the lesser the question is. That is how life is. So it's very important for us to understand what that Allah value most. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ also said the meaning, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from disbelief and from poverty. He, Prophet Muhammad, poverty is almost disbelief. If you disbelieve, ungrateful, unthankful, you are a very poor person. Your ending will be very bad, and there's no future for you. How poor we are. We have all the wealth here, but you have nothing, no saving in Akhirah. Very, very poor. There are people who have very little here, but they have a lot in the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah. So, we always ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to make us become people who are very prudent. Anything that we want to do, we must always think properly. We get excited, we know, when we hear something good happening somewhere, something bad also, we are very emotional. Or we even get angry very, very fast. Normally we get angry very fast when we don't get what we want. But the Prophet ﷺ always remind his ummah, calmness and carefulness are from Allah, while haste is from Satan. Don't react. When this kind of feeling come into you, don't react. Control yourself. Sometimes we get angry towards our sibling, our sister sometimes. Our sister get angry with us. But then when the anger is there, you just control. When you are angry, you don't know what you are saying. Anything goes out. And then you regret. Because we are not careful with what people say. I see how corrupted you are in your heart. How bad you are. You have all the bad feeling keep in your heart. The time when something happens, you just cannot control, you just let it out. And that's why Quran even said to us, if a person have no respect to you, but if they know how to control their feeling, they still honor you as a person, good. You can take him as a friend. But there will come a time they will belittle you in front of everybody. That means he cannot control his feeling anymore. He will belittle you in front of the public. When he does that, now if something you do is an open thing, then they can do it openly. You don't do anything wrong, but he's not happy with you. Your success, your goodness make him feel very unhappy. There are people who is like that. They just don't want you to be better than them. And you don't make any mistake. Publicly, you don't do anything wrong. But then he will find the opportunity in the public to belittle you. Then Allah is telling us what is in the heart of that person is double. He's very mean, but he was trying to control. But then Allah exposed him. Why? To let us know. A message delivered. You cannot take this thing lightly anymore. Why? Because he has proved to you who he is. Good. Lesson learned. Then what do? You have to cut it off. Don't try to feel, oh, I think it's a slip of the tongue. I think he's a good guy. He's not a munafik. No. Allah is telling us what Allah said is true. He is the creator, the all-knowing. It didn't come up yet. Yeah? Something is wrong with the system today. Anyhow. Now, there is no contradiction between the previous hadith and the hadith Ibn Majah talking about what the Prophet have warned us. Yeah? What kind of thing that is important in life. Anything you do, even the little that you can do, you do it sincerely so they are blessing from Allah. You want to advise somebody, you want to talk, you are always welcome. But please make sure that the word that you use is very good. Positive, constructive. And sometimes people use positive word, but their body language is negative. Then it becomes another problem. People don't respond positively. The best advice, the advice you give a person without he or she feel that he or she has been humiliated, belittled, if possible. Yeah? But if you have the intention by reminding that person openly, you remind everybody, then it's okay. But if you do that, be careful not to just remind one person. You can say, I have something to share with all of you today. That means you are addressing everybody. Then there will be more blessing, inshallah. Yeah? Being human again, sometimes people do not take things seriously. When you do it in a general manner, they thought that you are not talking to them. It's not them. You have another problem. Then you have to follow up again. Do it privately. You call that person who you know that is doing a lot of mistake to come into you privately and talk to them. Yeah? Now, there is so many saying from the Prophet. He says, seek to have little in this world and Allah will love you. Do not seek what others have and people will love you. Yeah? In Hadith 40, you come to a Hadith, if you want Allah to love you, you just have to do what Allah wants you to do. If you like people to love you, then you do what the people want you to do. So now choice is given to you. Do you want Allah's love and His blessing or you want people's love? That's why you can see in our culture sometimes when you are a politician, normally people who have authority, then you have a lot of people who come close to you. And they have their own agenda. Anything you want, yes sir, yes sir. Now they call you boss. Everybody call you boss. Because you are somebody now. But when you are nobody, people don't look at you anymore. You call them, they don't respond to you anymore. You know? Why? Because you are nobody. Yeah? Just an example is very important to understand. If you want Allah's blessing, you just have to please Allah, and Allah is pleased with what you have. Allah don't burden us, so you don't burden yourself. Whatever you can do, you try your best to do it. That's what Allah wants from us. فَاتَّقَ اللَّهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Don't have to burden yourself. We know Ramadan is coming very close too. Yeah. For those who have not been attending our Salat course, on the 22nd, we have our Salat course in Bahasa. Please don't miss, because this is to remind us the important to have a good relationship with Allah and how to prepare yourself and revisit your Islamic foundation, the 561. This hadith that I just mentioned, seek to have little in this world and Allah will love you. Do not seek what others have and people will love you. And sometimes people may hate you because you want to be like them. They don't like you to be like them. No? Now this hadith has a defect in terms of its authenticity, yet suppose it to be other than weak. And the meaning is that you should be content with having the bare necessities. Even the minimum you have, if you are not burdening others, you should be happy. Yeah, I do survive. And you should be satisfied with that amount of provision which saves you from having to beg or ask other people. Yeah. Sometimes everybody that Allah has provided for us is enough. Because we have our own lifestyle. No, we want to act like we have a lot. So you have to pretend. Yeah, to live in a situation that you are not one of it. You don't have to. You normally have a big car. If you have to sacrifice to the smaller car, remember, a car is a car. It's a means from to bring you from point to point. That's all. Yeah. At the same time, you should be noble and self-dependent and have sufficient means to prevent you from asking others for help, if possible. Always stay away from asking people, because you feel very bad when people keep on asking, and then you see, you seem to be, alhamdulillah, physically you are okay. Yeah. Mentally you are okay, but you have a weaknesses because you are so used to ask. And why you keep on asking? Because people respond to you. And that's why you keep on asking. Yeah. Whoever wishes to be free from dependent on others, Allah will make him so. It's like Allah say, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawm hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Allah will never change the condition of any one of us until we decide to make changes. This is also very, very important. Yeah? Brothers and sisters, prudence doesn't mean one become afraid to make decision. It means we must reflect and use a lot of wisdom to make a choice, that we have been doing our homework to think that what is the best. Yeah? Anything you do, even good, you must be very careful. Yeah? Before you speak especially, you have to think, will this word bring goodness or will it hurt someone? Before you act, you should ask. Anything you want to do, if not sure, you ask. That's why in the class, thing that you don't know, you have the right to ask. Thing that When I don't know the question from the questioner, I have to ask. And one of the best things, to help you to understand so that you don't give the wrong answer, is show me an example. Sometimes the question is okay, but we worry that our understanding is wrong. So it's good to be humble and ask again, can you give me a simple example about what you just asked? Now, when people give you example, I think you can understand things better. That's why even in the Quran, Allah used a lot of this kind of approach about misal, example. Masalul lazina kafaru, the example of a disbeliever, an example. Yeah? The word example is very important for people who want to understand. Because word is word. Not everybody can understand us through our words. Like in the classroom, when a teacher is saying something, not every student can have the same understanding. Because the level of understanding differs from one to another. An Arab poet said, I never had my hands outstretched except to the Creator. I never stretch my hand and ask anybody except to Allah Almighty. Of course, when you want to ask anything, is ista'ana fasta'ith billah. The Prophet, if you need to ask anything, first you ask Allah. Because He is the first. He is the Creator, the All-Knowing. He is the Provider. Ask Him first. The power of asking Allah first is that before you ask Allah, you must have adab. You must do your level best first. You must do your homework first. Then you ask. You just don't keep on asking without preparing. It's like you don't expect to pass an exam when you don't prepare your lesson. You must do your homework. Then you can ask. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Why we want you to ask Allah first? Because by asking Allah, if Allah is going to help you after you have done your homework, Allah Rabbul Alameen will open the heart of other people to respond to your needs. He controls the heart of everybody. You can ask so many people, nobody respond. Why? You thought that people just respond to you? No. It's Allah who will move the heart of the people. And sometimes you don't ask that person. When the person look at you, the person fear. Because Allah put that feeling into him. Then the help come. Yeah. So it's important to ask Allah first. Yeah. And I never sought a dollar from one who reminds other of his favor. Yeah. This is an Arab, a person who expressed his feeling. Yeah. In an authentic hadith, the saying of the Prophet, meaning for you to leave rich those who inherit from you is better than leaving them poor, in which case they will have to ask of people. Now, what the Prophet is trying to share with us is, you have something, please don't spend unnecessary and don't leave something behind for your children. Because you do not want your children to start to beg and ask. That's why parents work very hard today. Parents work very hard to make sure that they provide for the children. And if you have so much money and you have so many friends, don't forget your children. Make sure that you leave behind something that they can survive with, so that they don't beg and ask others. So the Prophet don't like a person who are rich forget about his own children, but like to help others, and then now when he's no more there, the children suffer. It is not right, yeah, for us to do that. Yeah. So for you to have to leave rich those who inherit from you is better. That means you have something, you leave it for your children, your immediate children. If you can buy a house for them, if you can buy just a flat for them, buy. At least they have a place to stay. And they don't keep on jumping from one place to another place and go and rent, and then people, the owner will come after them for the rental. It's not good. Give them at least a place to feel secure. Yeah. If you're extra, you want to buy them a car, give them a car. No problem. But at the same time, you remind them, yeah, not to be extravagant, not be ungrateful, and they also have to work and prepare for their future. Yeah. That's how life moves on. In another authentic hadith, the Prophet keep on guiding his ummah that I've shared with all of you, that the upper hand is better than the lower one. Yeah, yeah, the ula, the upper hand is always better than the lower one. The meaning of this hadith is that the giver is better than the receiver. The one who knows them not think that they are rich because of their modesty. There's an ayah in Surah 2, verses 273. Then Allah is telling us about the one who knows them not think that they are rich because of their modesty. Sometimes people do not know whether you are rich or poor. Even you are rich or you are poor, they don't know. But when you live very modestly, very moderate, the middle way, then you gain certain kind of respect. Yeah? The following words indicate that one should not be fulsome in praising people in order to receive financial assistance from them, since Allah has guaranteed our sustenance, our provision, risk. Allah have prepared for everybody 50,000 years before we were born in this life. Allah have ordained everything. You just have to learn how to be grateful and do your level best. That's how you move on. You may not get everything you want. You try your best, and maybe that is the best for you. Because if you keep on getting what you want, maybe you will feel arrogant, ungrateful, and then you destroy yourself. Quran chapter 4 verse 139 remind us again. Do they seek honor, power, and glory with them? Very, verily, then to Allah belongs all honor, power, and glory. There's another ayah that Allah said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Remember, all the honor, the kingdom belong to Allah, the owner, the creator. Yeah? And he give to whom he like. And when he give it to somebody and the person do not know how to be grateful and thankful, become arrogant, yeah, and become very selfish, yeah, then Allah will take it back again. Yeah? An Arab, yeah, poet keep on saying and sharing his feeling, I have no intention of kissing someone's hand. For me, cutting it off is better than that kiss. When one gives me a favor, he enslaves me. Or if not, at least I feel ashamed. You can see today a lot of people among the Muslim who respect a scholars. When they see the scholar, they grab his hand, they want to kiss his hand. Showing respect to the elders, scholar, is very important, but not necessary to do that. You know, the worry that we have is that that person feeling may change. Wow, he is so honorable. He's so, maybe he's like a saint now, the walking, saying that everybody hold his hand and want to kiss his hand, and some have want to bend down their head to kiss his hand. He must pull his hand out. Not necessarily. You can shake hand. It's a sunnah. But if you want to kiss the hand of the elders, it's good to kiss the hand of your parent. Yeah, now a lot of children do not know how to respect their parent. They don't even hug their parent. They feel ashamed. They are the right person for you to show love, respect, compared with just any friend. Yeah. This is very, very important. Yeah. We are worried that when humans are not careful how to express themselves, prudence also have something to do with that. You want to show your feeling, you must know to whom you want to show respect and love more. Yeah? Parents always come first. Brothers and sisters, when we learn about what Allah and the Prophet have shown us, then we know how important for us to have this feeling. Yeah? Before you say anything, be wise, be careful, and always try your level best to use the right word at the right place. Yeah. Lastly, don't forget the body language. Yeah. Sometimes we are so cool, no feeling at all. And people are talking to us, people like talking to the wall. You know? Sometimes our emotional feeling is so strong that people can see us from your body language, that you are not in control of yourself. You try to control your anger, but you forget your body language. You know? So both is very important. There are people who value you through your words. There are people who value you through your body language. So let us work together, make sure that we are humble, we are careful, we are wise, to say and to do anything, even it is good. Yeah. And may Allah protect those who are prudent and help us to have more wisdom when we are talking, when we are mixing around with people from different age group, different categories, different level in society. Always respect the elders, like the Prophet said, "Laysa minna man lam yuwakkir kabirana wa lam yarham saghirana." You are not one of us if those, the elders, don't show love to the young one, and the young one don't show respect to the elders. One of the signs of no respect, when you talk to the elders, you raise your voice. There was an ayah that made some companion feel so sad that they don't want to see the Prophet anymore. In Surah Al-Hujurat, when Allah said, "La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi ولا تجهروا بقولك جهريكم بعضكم لبعض أن تقبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Whoever raise up their voice in front of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will erase all their good deeds. So one companion, after that ayah was revealed, he felt so bad to him, says it. He said, this ayah is for him. He never come out from his home anymore. He never want to see the Prophet anymore. Why? He was worried that all his good deeds will be erased. Then the Prophet sometimes feel something. He don't see this man for quite some time, so he asked the other companion, have you seen Fulan bin Fulan? Normally the Prophet are very alert with his ummah, his companion who pray behind him, who always around when he having some classes and so on. But suddenly this man disappeared. After hearing this ayah, then they went to look for him and they asked this man, the Prophet is asking for you. He said, no, I'm not going out. Yeah. Because if I will see the Prophet again, and if I talk to him again, all my good deeds will be erased by Allah. I don't want to waste all the deeds that I've been doing so far, so long. So when the Prophet knew this, the Prophet advised him, this ayah is not to you. Yeah, it's to the people who show disrespect. Yeah. You cannot scream, Ya Rasulullah, you cannot say like that. Ya Nabi Allah, no. You must with respect. Yeah. It so happened that his voice is very loud. It's not that he wants to raise his voice. Each time when he opens his mouth, he like a loudspeaker, you know. He's a person who have a loud voice. So he's worried that this ayah is for him. The Prophet says, no. The Prophet don't feel bad because it's not his fault. It's for the people who show disrespect to the Prophet, raising their voice unnecessary. Yeah? So may Allah Rabbul Alameen give us all the wisdom to understand the importance to be prudent in whatever we do, and also be guided by the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to the world to bring us closer to Allah and to protect us from all the fitan and self-destruction. If there's any question, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Today you mentioned about bequeathing certain properties or certain part of your income or whatever to the others. I want to ask about, this is concerning priorities. When we want to bequeath our property or we want to do some spending for others, even in the hadith by Sa'ad bin Abu Waqqas, I think that Rasulullah said that he wants to bequeath everything that he has in a fi sabilillah. And Rasulullah said, do not give everything. Leave some for your family, if I'm not mistaken, Sa'ad bin Abu Waqqas. And that it becomes the dalil that we cannot make a will, wasiat, which is more than
one third.
Okay, so we hold on that. But the issue is, for a person who has a family, like you mentioned, they have kids, they have children. And so how do we balance how much we want to leave, considering that we are going to die? I mean, after our death, how much should be allocated? And what, as long as we are still alive, how much shall we do on other contribution, like building the masjid or something like that? But because at the same time, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know whether I've heard rightly, Rasulullah always said that we are not encouraged to die as a pauper. I mean, we are encouraged to have property. I mean, not to die as a pauper. I'm not sure what that, is that the right thing that I've heard? I mean, if we go for Sahaba's way of spending, their wealth is being determined, being seen as how much they give rather than how much they keep in their saving. We detect, oh, that guy is rich because we can see his spending. Doesn't mean that how much he has in his account. I mean, that is the conceptual thing. So I'm a bit confused now. What is the line that we draw? Okay, this is for family and this is for others, for our sedekah jariah. So what is the line actually? How much in how much?
Yeah, when you're still alive, the Prophet have give us the guideline. When you're still alive, it's up to you, of course, how much you want to give for charity when you're still alive, as long as the need, the necessity for your family is being taken care of. Yeah? It is not wise for you to just show how kind you are to other people, but you're so stingy and calculative with the family. Yeah. People may not know, because the more you give, you want, it's very loaded. Huh? She can give so much, but then the family is going to curse you for that. When it comes to family, man, you are so stingy and so calculative. So you should know, the as long as the necessity, the need of the family is taken care of, you first, of course. Because any sadaqah, welfare activities, even the Prophet said, the best one start from home. Charity start from home. You must look into that matter. So when the needs of the family is being taken care of, now you have something extra. That's up to you. You know what you want to do with extra is up, because neither your children or the family is going to complain, because they know there's nothing to complain. Who knows about this? We know better. Our intention also is important. But when you talk about property that you want to give away, if something happened to you, it's like the wasiat. You cannot give more than one third. That is something that you are not ready to give when you are still alive. You only put a will if I die. Then one third maximum you can leave for other people, than your immediate family. Your immediate family is being secured by Allah. Faraid. That one is being secured. Unless you have your other plan, you find that among the children, these are very ungrateful, these are very extravagant, you want to control. That's up to you. That means you must organize in a way that to some children that you know they are very good, you know, they are very careful with the spending, you know, very obedient, you may give them extra hibah. Give. You have isolated, the property, you have divided, this is special for 10% extra, but you must give it to them before you pass away. When you pass away, the law will not honor whatever you have in mind, but you did not give it away when you were given the authority to give it for the inheritors. Yeah? So that one is taken care of by the Sharia. Only you cannot give more than one third as a will to other than the inheritors. You are clear about that, inshallah. Yeah? Anything you want to do, of course, be always very careful. We look into children needs, necessities, covered. If they are working, that means they also must learn how to be safe and be independent. You know? But because we have all the wealth with us, we still can leave something behind for them. If you have given them enough, the good children, that's why the most important wealth for us to leave behind is righteous children. This property, children, if they are righteous, even the money that you have, they have the right to inherit. They don't need anymore. If anything happened to us, say we are multi-millionaire, they can inherit millions and millions. They will just sit together, and the elders among them, or maybe the mother who are still alive, they'll say, "Mama, we give it to you to manage. You decide." But if the mother is not a wise person, then the children collectively say, "Okay, this is our right. What you want to give extra to the mom, we can give. Or you don't have to give because we are there. Anytime the mom needs anything, you are there to help her. But important is that I want to do something for my parent." Now, the righteous children collectively will invest, take the money that they inherit to build a mosque, example. Even you want to build a mosque, you must know what kind of mosque, which area, you know, and then who are the one who is going to manage the mosque. You must know. You don't want the mosque to be used by the wrong group of people and create a lot of bid'ah and shirik in the mosque. Just an example, today, everything you want to do is important for you to look into who are the one that is going to run or manage the mosque. If not, the mosque become Masjid Dirar, not Masjid Taqwa, which Allah command the Prophet, don't ever enter that mosque to perform prayer. Because the mosque was organized, run by the wrong group of people. We have bad intention. If the mosque is going to do a bid'ah, shirik, why must you build that kind of mosque in that area? If the people want to follow the Quran Sunnah, to make sure that the Quran Sunnah is been established yet in the community, that is something you must support. Example. Righteous children is something very, very important for us to leave behind. They don't think about our money. They have enough to survive. They will just think it's our duty towards our parents. Whatever we have now, we want to see how we can do things that benefit our father. And that is where we have to focus more to the children. We don't want, when something happened to us, all the family start to fight with each other. It's very, very sad to hear sometimes things that you can solve in 1 month, 3 months, it takes 10 years. Why? Because one refused to cooperate. No. It's like a property. Your parents don't have a lot, left only one bungalow. Bungalow. Nobody is staying there now. So all the siblings have their own house now, the children. Now they said, "Let us sell." Well, one of the siblings said, no, this is a very sentimental kind of value. We do not want to sell. If you think like that, okay. You just say, how much is the share? The inheritor will have, you just share. And then, okay, you give to them and you keep the property. You cannot just think of yourself. The right is being given by Allah. Why you do that? By law, the problem is because some authority, they are not God-fearing people. They say, well, if all the siblings is not gathered together, you delay. You have no right to do that. Because the inheritor have their right. The share is there. You should give them a period. Okay, I give you 6 months. After 6 months, if anybody disagreed, we don't care anymore. Because you have no right to stop the other sibling to get their right. It's zulm. But sometimes the system, we don't know why. Why it thing had delayed for years and years. Something is very, very wrong. Very un-Islamic. Just an example. And now the siblings are not together anymore. They hate each other just because of that. Because of money. May Allah bless us, inshallah. There's a lot to learn about this. Yeah? So if the wise person is to get their children together one day, let us have a discussion. And get a scholar to come and advise everybody. Let everybody have the knowledge and plan properly. The life today is like this. You just have to do what you have to do extra today before anything happens. Because you cannot depend on the system. The system is not helping. The system is failing. Something is, I don't know why. Why a simple matter that Allah have shown us the guideline how to solve this problem, we delay and delay and delay.
So in other words, it's good sometimes that we can give direct transfer while you are still alive.
Okay.
Hopefully Allah will bless. Because certain cases we feel sorry for the parents if they leave too early when you don't have righteous parents, you end up in the roadside.
Correct. There is also some issues, challenges that you face. Unless you prepare for yours also. Your portion that you need secured, this extra, okay, you divide. Now this happened where? In the non-Muslim country, where you cannot reinforce the inheritance the Islamic way. They follow the conventional way. If you say this, I want to give all my, if I die, the will is written, will be given to one person, khalas, that person will have all the right. Yeah, the conventional law is different. Where for the Islamic one, so what they do, whoever stay in a non-Muslim country, they cannot fight for the Islamic law, so they divide. From the beginning, they say, okay, my son will have this, I transfer to him. This one I transfer to my daughter. He just transfer everything. And then what you want to keep for yourself, you just keep. And then you put a will. That's up to you now. So it's really up to us sometimes when live in a non-Muslim community, when the law is not in favor to the Islamic rule, then you must plan. Yeah. Inshallah. Na'am. The 22nd is Saturday.
Yes.
And then you also have the classes.
Saturday, 15th, we'll have the
Okay. So this Saturday, okay. 15 February, then perfecting the Fatiha course is on. Yeah. For anybody who would like to join and participate, yeah? And also journaling to don't be sad about what we have been learning is on also this Saturday. Yeah? The timing is from
9 to 1.
Perfecting Fatiha 9 to 1. Yeah? And journaling is from 10 to 11 a.m. Yeah, 9 to 1 is perfecting Al-Fatiha. And then journaling, don't be sad, is from 10 to 11. And perfecting salat is on 22nd. This is this coming 15th. 22nd will be perfecting my salat in Bahasa. Yeah. So may Allah make it easy for all of us who are not aware about our courses. Please be noted that we are having all these courses for the benefit of the Ummah, so that we prepare ourselves before we return back to Allah Rabbul Alamin. Until then, inshallah, hope the best for everybody and those who are still traveling because of long holidays. May Allah make it easy for them and make them have a safe travel back home to their family members. And may Allah accept all our good deeds and forgive all our sins and mistakes. وَبِلَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالْأَقْرِ دَعْوَانَا وَالْحَمْدُ بِالْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.